जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर्धारी। जशोदा नंदन व्रज जनरंजन यमुना चिरमन चारि जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी।
Paramahams Paravachaksajastu Shri Srimad His Divine Grace Abhaita Narmin Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Iskan Samstap Katarjish Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Nama Atarjish Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Premsakoho Shri Krishna Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyamakund Radha Kund Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Shri Mayapur Namadvip Dham Ki Jai Jamunamai Ki Jai Gangamai Ki Jai Tosi Devi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakta Vind Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. Gaur Prem Nandi Hari Hari. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yamadbir Yogapattaya Abhyasan Shadhayan Vitaha Mai Bhavena Sakyena Matkata Sravanena Cha Yamadibir Yogapattaya Nimadibir Yoga Abhyasan Shradavyan Vitaha Mai Bhavena Satyena Matkata Shravanena Cha Yamadibir Yoga Patayar Abhyasan Shradayan Vitaha Mayi Bhavena Satina Matkata Shravanena Cha. Please chant. Yamadibir Yoga Pratek Abhyasam Shadayan Uttamam Mahi Bhavena Satina Madhkata Shravayena Ladies, Yamadbir Yoga Patan Vyasan Sharayan. Kata Sharanena Cha Yamaribi, beginning with Yama Yoga Pate, by the yoga system Abhyasan, practicing Shraddhaya Anvitaha, with great faith. Mahi, unto me, Bhavina, with devotion. Satyena, unalloyed. Matkatha, stories about me. Shravanena, by hearing. Cha, and translation and purport. One has to become faithful by practicing the controlling process of the yoga system, and must elevate himself to the platform of unalloyed devotional service by chanting and hearing about me. Yoga is practiced in 8 different stages: Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dharana, and Dhyana, and Samadhi. Yama and Niyama means practicing the controlling process by following strict regulations, and Asana refers to the sitting postures. These help raise one to the standard of faithfulness in devotional service. The practice of yoga by physical exercise is not the ultimate goal. The real end is to concentrate and to control the mind, and train oneself to be situated in faithful devotional service. Bhavena, or bhava, is a very important factor in the practice of yoga or in any spiritual process. Bhava is explained in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, verse 8, Buddha Bhava Samanvitaha. One should be absorbed in the thought of love of Krishna. When one knows that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the source of everything, and that everything emanates from Him. Aham Sarvasya Prabhava. Then one understands the Vedanta aphorism, Janmadyasya Yata, the original source of everything, and then he can become absorbed in Bhava, or the preliminary stage of love of God, Godhead. Bhava is mentioned here by Prabhupada as the preliminary stage of love of Godhead, but it's actually just before you attain prema, you attain bhava. So by preliminary, he means just the step before prema. It's number 7 or 8 on the ladder of Shraddha and Guru, approaching a Guru, and that process described by Rupa Goswami. So bhava, He says, when one can understand that Krishna is the origin of everything, then he becomes absorbed in Bhava, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Buddha Bhava Samanvita. Aham Sarvasya Prabhava. Rupa Goswami explains very nicely in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu how this bhava, or preliminary stage of love of God, is achieved. He states that first of all, one has to become faithful. Shrayan Mitaha. Faith is attained by controlling the senses, either by yoga practice or by following the rules and regulations and practicing the sitting postures, or by engaging directly in bhakti yoga, as recommended in the previous verse, the verse we heard yesterday. That verse says, it's the duty of every conditioned soul to engage his polluted consciousness, which is now attached to material enjoyment, in very serious devotional service with detachment. Thus his mind and consciousness will be under full control. So that's the description of bhakti yoga. We heard yesterday a description of how the gopis exemplified that process. They did the vrat for 1 month. They did this katyayani vrat. Very difficult process, but they were very determined and they succeeded. So either by yoga, or which is indirect, or directly in bhakti yoga, one must control the senses and attain faith. Of the 9 different items of bhakti yoga, the first and foremost is to chant and hear about the Lord. That is also mentioned here. Matkata shravanena cha. One may come to the standard of faithfulness by following the rules and regulations of the yoga system, or the same goal can be achieved simply by chanting and hearing about the transcendental activities of the Lord. The word cha is significant. Bhakti yoga is direct, and the other process is indirect. But if the indirect process is taken, there's no success unless one comes fully to the direct process of hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. Therefore, the word satyena is also used here. In this connection, Swami Sridhar comments that satyena means nishkapatena, without duplicity, unalloyed, without duplicity, no mixture, unalloyed, without duplicity. The impersonalists are full of duplicity. Sometimes they pretend to execute devotional service, but their ultimate idea is to become one with the Supreme. This is duplicity, kapata. The Bhagavatam does not allow this duplicity. In the beginning of Bhagavatam, it is clearly stated, Paramo Nirmat Saranam. This treatise, Srimad Bhagavatam, is meant for those who are completely free from envy. The same point is again stressed here. Unless one is completely faithful to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and engages himself in the process of hearing and chanting the Lord's glories, there's no possibility for liberation. Om Agyana Timarandas Gananjana Shrakaya Chakshusham Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mayam Dharati Swaparantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Tapara Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavam Cha Shirupam sagajatam sahagana ragana tam vitam tam sajivam sadvetam savadhutam parijana sahitam krishna chaitanya devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhandatamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kantarada Kanta Namastute Tata Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavani Shri Vishamana Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Manchakalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyavacha Patitanam Pavane Vyo Vaisnavi Vyo Namunama Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vas Hari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Yamadi Bir Yoga Patair Abhyasan Shadayantaha Mai Bhavena Satyena Matkata Sravanena Cha. Yoga Pat, hear the word Yoga Patair is used. Yoga Pat means yoga path, the yoga system. Just like the English word path, P-A-T-H, it's spelled the same way. Yoga Patair, P-A-T-H-A-I-R. So this word is often used in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam says there are followers of paths, the Patanugas. It mentions many paths. It mentions even the paths of the faithless people like the Pashandis, the Pashandipat. It mentions more elevated paths, the paths of the demigods. That's called the royal path. The path of self-realization is called Atmapat. And then you have the word Pata Pradarshika Guru, the one who shows a person the road to self-realization. Pata Pradarshika Guru. Just like Mother Suniti, the mother of Dhruva Maharaj, she told him the path to Krishna. So you have high paths, you have low paths. Sometimes you go to heaven, sometimes you go to hell. It depends on what path you're on. If you follow the path of atheism, surely you go to hell. Yata mata tata pat. Some people say that, you know, whatever path you're on, it's okay, you'll end up at the same goal. You'll become God. So there's lots of misleaders. And here in the purport, Prabhupada warns against the way that the impersonalists mislead one on the path of yoga. There's also the Aryapat, that's the Varnashram, the path of the Aryas, the Aryans. The Vedantapat, that's another path. So yoga path, that's mentioned a lot in the Bhagavad Gita. The word yoga is used in the Bhagavad Gita 78 times. And it appears in all the chapters, but three chapters. Only three chapters don't mention yoga. And then there's related words, yogi, yoga, related words. Altogether, these appear in 20% of the verses of the Bhagavad Gita. So, here it's stressed that one has to become faithful by practicing the controlling process of yoga, the controlling process of the yoga system. The goal is that one has to become faithful to Krishna and must elevate himself to the platform of unalloyed devotional service by chanting and hearing. Now, this instruction of Kapila does not mean one has to practice the process of yoga. When he says one has to become faithful by practicing the controlling process of the yoga system, what he is saying that is, if one does yoga, then one has to become faithful and elevate himself to the platform of devotional service. But not that one has to practice yoga. That was for a different age. In this age, you don't have to practice the yoga system. So the wording might be misunderstood. One has to become faithful by practicing the controlling process of the yoga system. My service in Krishna consciousness movement is editing, so I'm just pointing out how an editor can make a distinction here between reading. One has to become faithful by practicing the yoga process. That doesn't mean one has to practice the yoga process, but it means one has to become faithful if one practices the yoga process. So ultimately there's a spiritual goal to yoga. It's not just about this body and mind. Srila Prabhupada said it's not for fat reducing. Some people want to reduce their bodily fat, so they practice yoga. Yoga actually comes from Patanjali. Patanjali lived about 300 A.D. In other words, about 1700 years ago. And his most well-known book is called the Yoga Sutra. So you can find, if you read his book, you can find his recommendation that the method of yoga is meant for spiritual attainment. But in the beginning of his book, he describes the basic processes. The basic processes are processes of dealing with the body and mind. In the beginning, one has to deal with the body and mind. One has to learn about controlling the body and mind. So there's the first two steps, yam and niyama. This verse today, Bhagavatam verse today, says beginning with yam, beginning with yam, then going on to niyam. So we can discuss all these steps that are mentioned in the purport: yam, niyam, asana, pranayam, pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, and samadhi. But anyway, Patanjali, his goal is ultimately that one attains the spiritual goal. But he starts out with yam and niyama. And many yoga practitioners today, they also start on that level, how to deal with the body and the mind. There are 600 muscles in the body, 600 muscles in your body. So the yogis get into this. They get into using those muscles. There are about 20 million people in America, North America now, who practice yoga. In London, also in the UK, there's a big group of people who practice yoga. I was preaching in London at a three-day yoga show at a big auditorium. Many yoga groups come and display what the activities of their centers are at this yoga show. They have stalls or booths. So the Hare Krishna movement also had a stall there. And as you know, there are many teachers from India who have popularized yoga. Some of them are from Brahmin families in India. And they have centers around the world. I met one of the leaders of one of these yoga groups once in Switzerland. He has a center there. And the devotees were asked, they were invited by this yoga center, please come. We need a translator. We need someone who can translate our spiritual master's speech into German. That was the first thing. And we also need some nice refreshment. Will you please provide the prasad? So they asked the devotees to come and provide the prasad. And the spiritual master of this group, when he took the prasad, he was very pleased. He said, yes, it's very sattvic, very sattvic. And I offered him Mahaprasad. And he said, Mahaprasad. He said, everybody should get some. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So one of my god sisters, Krota Shamani, do you know Krota Shamani? She's an American disciple of Srila Prabhupada who became interested in yoga, Hatha Yoga, and she learned from one of these spiritual masters from India, and he was impressed with her. She had already been trained by Srila Prabhupada, and he said about her, she's a Vedic lady. Prabhupada had turned her into a Vedic lady. And she's become a yoga teacher in Los Angeles. She has a center right across the street from the temple. And she teaches people how to do the Hatha Yoga. Now, you might wonder, well, what did Prabhupada say about teaching yoga? When he talked to some of his disciples who did yoga, he said, we don't teach this because it will distract people from bhakti yoga. We don't want to do that. We want them to concentrate on bhakti yoga. But he said, actually, the hatha yoga is good. It's good for brahmacharis. It's good for the health of the body. It's good for the mind. It's good for the whole system. It deals with the atma. The atma, there's three parts to the atma, the body, the mind, and the soul. The body is meant for activity. So yoga helps rejuvenate the body and keeps us active, especially in devotional service. We want to be active. And the mind is meant for acquiring knowledge. And, of course, the self is meant for service to Krishna. So here Prabhupada speaks in favor of the yoga system. He says it can raise one to the standard of faithfulness in devotional service. But he says the converse, if you practice the indirect method and you don't come to the standard of faithfulness in devotional service, then there's no success for you. So you may, he really comes down. He speaks out against not becoming faithful. He says that there are yogis who are impersonalists, and they want to merge into the Lord. They want to become one with God by merging into the Brahman, or even in merging into the body of the Lord. So from they pretend to be devotees. Sometimes they express some devotion to a deity or even to Krishna. But they don't really become faithful to Krishna or surrender to Krishna. They want to become Krishna. So in this verse today, Prabhupada puts some stress on the word satyena. Satyena means unalloyed. One has to become an unalloyed follower of Krishna, completely faithful to Krishna, not having any other goal than to serve Krishna, not becoming one with Krishna. He says this is because people are envious. They do not want to serve God. So one has to become faithful to Krishna. Faith is described in the Bhagavad Gita. Usually the word shraddha is used. That word appears in the Bhagavad Gita about 25 times. The first time it appears is in chapter 3, in verse 31. Krishna says, those who are faithful followers of my teachings, they become free of the effects of action. Usually action or karma implicates us in this world. We're bound by karma. to accept material bodies. So Krishna says that faith has a very wonderful effect. If you have faith in my teachings, then you will become free from the effects of action. You'll renounce all your actions for me. You'll perform all your activities with thoughts of me. You'll be thinking of me. And then in the fourth chapter, he says, one who is faithful, who's a faithful devotee, will attain knowledge of me. The fourth chapter is called Transcendental Knowledge. And that transcendental knowledge is about Krishna, Janma, Karma, Chame, Divyam. Krishna's birth is transcendental, his activities are transcendental. That kind of transcendental knowledge you'll obtain by approaching a spiritual master, Tadviri Pranipatenam Pariprasnena Sevaya. You'll become devoted to that truth, that absolute truth, that absolute knowledge about Krishna. You'll become devoted to it. If you control your senses, there's a link here between faithfulness and controlling the senses. Sense control is a symptom of faithfulness, or you could say faithfulness is produced by sense control. And you'll obtain the supreme peace. Shanti, you'll obtain real peace, shanti. And you'll do this by offering your love to me, Krishna says in the sixth chapter, when he describes the highest yogi, Shravan Vajate Yoman, one who is full of faith. He worships me and offers love to me. So that's the kind of faith that should be obtained by yoga. And that starts with sense control, controlling the senses. So Prabhupada is also teaching that sense control when he teaches us that we have to follow the regulative principles. We have to bring our senses under control. Bhakti yoga begins with controlling the mind. One way or other, we have to transcend our egoistic idea of the self. I am this body, and everything that I have, it belongs to me. The yogi doesn't think like that. The devotee doesn't think like that. He thinks, Nir Mama, nothing is mine. Krishna is the supreme proprietor. So he directs his life toward the Ishvara, toward the supreme controller. And that supreme controller is described throughout the Bhagavad Gita, throughout the Bhagavatam, and also by Patanjali in the Yoga Sutras. And Krishna, of course, fits the bill. Krishna fits that description of the supreme controller. Krishna fits the description given by Patanjali. Patanjali says that the supreme controller is transcendental to karma. He's not affected by karma. So that's Krishna. He's not affected by karma. The supreme controller has unsurpassed omniscience. He knows everything. So that's also Krishna. Krishna, as you know, described to the sun god the process of bhakti yoga. He taught the sun god, and then the sun god taught Manu. So in that way, Krishna is a teacher of all the ancient personalities in this universe. He taught Brahma, he taught the sun god. That's also mentioned by Patanjali, that the Ishvara is the one who teaches the ancient personalities in the universe. So Patanjali may have had Krishna in mind when he said that one should develop dedication to Ishvara. Patanjali was followed by several main commentators in the 5th century, in the 9th century, the 11th century, the 16th century. There were four main commentators on the Yoga Sutra. And they tended to emphasize this idea that the Ishvara that Patanjali means is Krishna. But sometimes it's not taken that way by the followers of the yoga path. As I said, they, and as Prabhupada said in the purport, they sometimes are impersonalists who want to merge into the Brahman effulgence of Krishna or into the body of Krishna. I'd just like to finish the class by telling you about the eight limbs of yoga. From the devotional point of view, so there's the first two steps, yam and niyam. And each of those steps has five parts. The five parts of yam are truthfulness and nonviolence, not stealing, and not coveting or not desiring somebody else's possessions or somebody else's wife, and celibacy. Celibacy is very, very important to the devotees. All of us take a vow to be celibate. Now that can be done with another person or without another person. In other words, even the grihasthas are celibate, but they're celibate with another person. They're married. And together they concentrate on God and they follow the regulative principles. It's sometimes easier for people to be celibate when someone, a person who is very close to them, a person very close to one's heart, you're with that person and you're together trying to be celibate. But if you're without another person, if you're on your own and you're trying to be celibate like a brahmachari, then you have to take the example of someone like Lord Chaitanya, who gave up family life and dedicated the whole second period of his life just to Krishna. He gave up his family as insignificant so that he could become dedicated to Krishna. And that's what he was teaching. So this is really the basis of celibacy. Celibacy, it means sense control, but it doesn't mean just a negation of sense control or a negation of desire. But rather it means using the senses and transforming one's desire so that one becomes really dedicated to Krishna. And that will make one's celibacy successful. That will give it the real meaning. And then when one is richly endowed with love of God, when one becomes a very developed person in God consciousness or Krishna consciousness, then he can give this to others. So the celibate is usually expected to give Krishna consciousness or God consciousness to others. Even in the Western tradition, the priests were trained to be celibate. They spend 7 or 8 years before they were initiated as priests. They used to spend time learning how to be celibate, how to devote oneself to God, or Jesus in their case. So then you come to, that's yam. Yam, celibacy is part of yam. Then there's niyam, that also has five parts. And one of those parts is worshiping the deity. So you can see how celibacy leads to worship of the deity. We should learn to become very devoted to the deity worship, dedicated to Krishna in the form of the deity. And cleanliness is another part of niyama, How to be a Brahman. A Brahman is clean inside, outside. How to be content. That's the third aspect of niyama. You have to be content. You have to be self-satisfied. Satisfied with the self. Content with whatever comes of its own accord. Not thinking that if I work hard, if I endeavor with great determination to acquire material goods, then I'll become happy, I'll become satisfied. I won't be satisfied unless I get all the material goods that this world has to offer. No, that's like the Karmakandis who follow the Vedas. The Vedas are set up so that people can get all the good things of this world by performing different sacrifices and stuff like that. But in yoga, under the category of niyam, one has to become content. And austere, one has to become austere and one has to become self-reflective, one has to become introspective. Then you come to the stage of asana. I have a confession to make. I've been practicing yoga asanas for about 10 years. So I could tell you about the yoga asanas, but that's another class. There's actually a lot of benefits to be derived from yoga asanas. The fourth level of yoga, on the yoga ladder, the fourth rung, is pranayama, or breath control. Now, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, one type of devotee offers the incoming breath and the outgoing breath to him. Also in the 10th chapter, when he discusses the devotees who are very fixed on him, he says, with their thoughts on me, with their life breath offered to me. So even the devotees are described as offering their life breath to Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada said in one purport in the Bhagavatam that chanting the holy name of the Lord and dancing are also considered pranayama. Arjuna is another example. Arjuna offered his whole life activity to Krishna. So that kind of dedication to Krishna is also yoga, pranayama. The fifth limb of yoga is pratyahara. That means withdrawing the senses. You've all heard of nirvana. This is not the same thing. Nirvana means extinguished. Like when you blow out a candle. You blow out the flame of a candle. That's nirvana. Then it doesn't exist anymore. It's extinguished. So to withdraw the senses doesn't mean that. Krishna says that a devotee is someone who is like a turtle. He withdraws the senses when he doesn't use them in his shell. He doesn't use his senses unless he uses them for Krishna. So to withdraw the senses means not to engage them in the sense objects without Krishna consciousness being the goal. So Krishna is teaching us how to be active, how to work for Him. But how to become withdrawn from personal enjoyment. That's not pratyahara. Personal enjoyment without Krishna consciousness is not pratyahara. But then we come to the last three limbs of yoga. Dharana, dhyana and samadhi. That's concentration, meditation and complete absorption in Krishna. Just like Krishna says, fix your mind upon me. Engage all your intelligence in me. Really concentrate on me. So we do this with our senses. We do this. We, especially by chanting. We engage the ears. We engage the tongue. We engage the heart. Trying to capture Krishna by chanting and hearing about Him, hearing about His activities. And we practice this congregationally in public so that other people will be attracted to Krishna. Sankirtan helps everyone, even just an onlooker, if he hears the chanting of the holy name. So ultimately, then you get the object of your meditation. If you're a successful yogi, you get the object of your meditation. Krishna appears within your heart. He's already there. He's in the heart of all hearts. But when you become a very good meditator with concentration, then you get Krishna full time, you could say. It's like you want to surrender to Krishna. You understand Krishna. You know that Krishna is the source of everything. And then you surrender to Krishna. So the surrender to Krishna, that's your passport to samadhi. You need a passport if you want to go somewhere. So if you want to attain samadhi, then you have to have a passport. And that passport is surrender. Surrendering yourself to Krishna. So that's what's described in this verse. And Prabhupada stresses the feeling that comes with surrender. Bhava. Surrender with all your heart. Your whole heart, you surrender to Krishna. Everything. You want Krishna to have everything that you have. Srila Baladev Vijayabhusan says that Krishna is the life of the devotees. And talking about Krishna is their nourishment. I was wondering, you know, why the devotees are attending the classes here with so much attention. I saw so many devotees the last few weeks listening so attentively for 1 hour to some talk about Krishna. Why did they do that? Because they're nourished by hearing and talking about Krishna. They get nourishment for their spiritual life. That's what Baladev Vijayabhusan says. We converse about Krishna with great love. That's what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. Machira mat gatena. The devotees are thinking about me and talking about me to each other with great love. And then to those devotees, Krishna gives real intelligence. Buddhi. Buddhi means understanding everything. Devotees understand everything. And then they come to Krishna that way. Krishna gives them intelligence to come to them. Come to Him. So with that intelligence, we can reject the base qualities of the mind. The mind is the source of base qualities like lust and anger and greed and fear. And with intelligence, with Krishna conscious intelligence, we can reject and control the mind. Reject the base qualities of the mind and control it. And ultimately then we attain samadhi and we attain a spiritual body. And in a spiritual body there are no material desires. You don't have to worry about the goal of Krishna consciousness. The goal is attaining a point where there are no more material desires. You won't be bothered by material desires anymore when you become fully Krishna conscious and when you go back to Godhead. Okay, any questions? Yes, here's a mic.
Hare Krishna. Prabhu, you have mentioned that Patanjali was 380 AD.
Yes.
Well, where is the source for that? Because my understanding is that he was much older than that, because Vyasadeva has commented on the Patanjali Sutra and is also described as avatar of Anantashesha.
Okay, I can tell you that I gave you the version that's accepted by the scholars. The version that Patanjali lived in 300 AD is the version that the scholars accept.
But I mean the scholars, Vaishnava scholars or the...
No, the university scholars.
Okay, because my friend is doing his PhD now in yoga in Mysore. And he's at the same time studying with the Sri Sampradaya. Mm. And I can try to come back on you, but I think Patanjali is way in the past. He's describing the Puranas as an avatar of Anantashesha with a half snake body and half human body. And I don't think the scholar would accept that.
Okay. No, they certainly probably won't. This one. Thank you for the question. This other person?
Hare Krishna. Thank you. Prabhuji, I have one question. That is, when we are chanting, after Mangala Arati, we are start to chanting, that time, start to chanting, so many anarthas coming. Only for chanting time, so many anarthas coming. And another seva, as like, it is Arati, and Prasad Seva, so many seva, there are not coming any anarthas, but only for chanting, so many anarthas coming. So how we can solve, and how we can develop, and how we can send pure holy name.
Are you asking how to control the mind? Basically, asking how to control the mind, is that your question? Is your question how to control the mind?
Okay, huh? How we can control the mind, okay.
Basically, that's what you're asking. Yeah, well, it takes practice. One has to discern or see what is the mind. One has to be able to look within and understand, oh, this is my mind working. We take the information from the Shastra. What are the qualities of the mind? We learn about the mind in the Shastra. Lord Rishabhadev teaches, the mind is the source of lust, anger, greed, fear, all these bodily concepts of life. The mind wants to engage the senses in the bodily concept of life. So then you understand, okay, that's the mind. Now I have to work to control the mind. So we do that by transforming the functions of the senses and the sense objects. We use things for Krishna. We desire. Srila Prabhupada was speaking on this verse by Rishabhadev here in Vrindavan once. I have listened to the tape recording. And he says, we don't become desireless because we're living entities. We have desires. But we transform our desire. Narottam Das Thakur says, by transforming our desires, then we can succeed. And Prabhupada gave the example of this Krishna Balaram Mandir. He said, we're desiring, this was in 1975, 1976. He said, we're desiring this beautiful temple for Krishna. But a materialist with his mind is saying, build a beautiful house. I want a beautiful house, a nice skyscraper for myself. So we have to understand the difference between personal sense gratification and the sense gratification of Krishna. And it's not that we try to stop seeing. We want our eyes to see Krishna Balaram. That's what Prabhupada explained. So those are the ideas. How to control the mind. It takes intelligence. Prabhupada says buddhi is required. You have to develop your intelligence. Buddhi. You have to know everything. There's going to be a reaction. You have to understand there's a reaction if you do the wrong thing. So with your intelligence, you understand, if I steal, then the police might catch me. I'll get in trouble. So you don't steal. So you learn to act. In this way, you learn to act also and use your intelligence. Okay? Okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right. Rajmandal, wait for the microphone. Just...
Sometimes when there is so much lust in the body, intelligence does not work.
Yes. The mind. There's war. The body is lusty. Lust is an enemy, yeah. You have to control the enemy. So desire everything for Krishna. Make Krishna your lover. Fall in love with Krishna, then you'll be okay. Thank you very much. Thank you, Hare Krishna. Glories to Srila Prabhupada.